Welcome and thank you for joining us today for MPC, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, where we bring awareness to nonprofit leaders and everyday heroes who are making an impact in our community through their generosity, their purpose, and their impact. Welcome to MPC, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, where we highlight nonprofit leaders and everyday heroes who are making an impact through their purpose, their passion, and their generosity. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations at Ellen Becker Investment Group, and I invite you to join me for a conversation about how our guest is making a difference in our community, and you can also learn how you, using your time, talents, and resources, can make a difference as well. F. Scott Fitzgerald once said, "Never confuse a single defeat with a final outcome." Today's show is about a young man who realized that mistakes made in his youth would not define him as an adult who, by the way, had an opportunity to make a big difference in the lives of those with similar backgrounds. What you're about to hear today might just challenge everything you think about second chances. My guest today is Praxidis Reyes Burgos, who, as a 12-year-old boy, was swept into the darkness and the chaos. The streets shaped him. Danger became normal. And for years, he became a problem the community didn't know what to do with. He was indeed a leader, but on the wrong side of life. Today, Praxidis is the founder of Casa Segura de Dios, whose mission is now impacting families, neighborhoods, and people fighting battles no one sees. Thank you for joining me today, Praxidis.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. I've been waiting for this moment. It's been on my heart to try to share this mission and what God doing to Casa Segura de Dios. And finally, to be here, it's a great joy to be here today with you, Jill.
Well, we are happy that you're here and excited to hear what you have to share. We're going to start out a little bit differently, though, today, because there's some heavy things that we're going to discuss, at least initially, but it has a happy ending, I promise. Unfortunately, as we speak, there are some less than desirable things happening all across our country, cities, large, small. Sometimes they're things that are very subtle, and sometimes they're very obvious, like violence is on the uptick. Exploitation of all kinds is spreading, and overdoses are taking lives faster than anyone can count. You told me, Praxidis, that it's a darkness that doesn't ask permission into our lives. It just enters. I would add, most often uninvited, right? You were 12 years old when violence and crime came into your life, and then in 2013, everything changed. A federal indictment came down like a hammer, which for many people, that would have been the end of the story, right? But it wasn't the end of your story. Inside those prison walls, something shifted. Something you never expected, a moment that forced you to confront who you were and who you would become. So tell us in more detail what happened at age 12 that changed the direction of your life.
When I speak about age 12, when I was 12, and I mentioned that that's the darkness that don't ask permission to get in people's life. I'm from Puerto Rico in this pueblo called Ponce. And as I was growing up, it was just a lot of violence, prostitution. It was an environment that it wasn't safe for a kid of 12 years old. It wasn't because my mom and my dad chose to be on that indictment. Maybe it was the social or the economy, you know, we was placed on that environment that I grew up just seeing all of this stuff. And little by little, when I say that's a darkness that come in without invitation, like you say, that's how I was trapped on this violence, because everything that I see, it was violent, selling drugs, addictions, and just pulling by depression of that society. Even though that I was raised with some good values at home inside my house, my mom gave me good values and good principles to live by. But soon that I come out those doors to go to school or to go to the store, it was so much violence out there and prostitution. They just growing up to seeing all of this stuff, it become normal to me. And I begin just to be pulled up by that type of lifestyle in the, at the age of 12. That's when I begin to involve little by little, you know, in the streets, like start selling drugs and using. And at that age, I believe that I lost what it was my childhood. Mm. So I didn't get that chance to fully develop as a child because I was living a different life that it wasn't proper for a 12-year-old living in those environment where I come from, Puerto Rico. And that's how everything began to shape me little by little. And from small teen, I begin to do bigger things. And into I end up the first time I was like 17 or 18 doing time in the state prison in Puerto Rico. And that was just basically started in the age 12 with the environment that a lot of people don't see clearly how this darkness just trap your child. Mm. When you do everything like my mom to raise you and put good values and do whatever she could do it, and now she feel what did I do wrong.
Right.
But it was the environment that was around me.
Yeah. Well, what led to the federal indictment in 2013? And how did that moment break everything?
Well, in 2013, I was just escalate to a different level. Now I had a huge organization that I was just leading of drug trafficking. And after being back and forth to prison in the state prison, because I wasn't the first time I was back in, I was in prison, but this time I was dealing multiple kilos of heroin and dealing, and I was a trouble, like really for the city, a trouble that spread through the whole city of Milwaukee. But inside me, I know that it was a better life. It wasn't, I was trying to escape that lifestyle, but I know at the same time that life is going to come to the end. And finally, in 2013, the Fed went to my house and arrested me in the charges of drug conspiracy, facing 10 years to life behind bar with 23 other people that was under my authority or that was working for me, as they say. And that was the final point for me, you know, to change directions. When I got indicted, I thought that was the end of it.
Yeah. Well, who were you before people knew you as a pastor? So you eventually became a pastor and a community leader. And we're going to get to that exciting mm-hmm. part in our next segment. But who were you before? And what happened inside prison that transformed your identity and your purpose?
And that's a great question, because whoever see me right now, the way that I talk and the way that I look, they can think that I was born and raised in church, right? Or I've been a minister all my life. Mm-hmm. But in that life, I wasn't only a drug dealer. I begin to use heroin too. I begin to, the supply that I was selling, I begin to use it. And I was an ugly person in the inside, even though that I got people that love me, I got people that care for me, but inside of me, I was an addict. I was a person without heart. I was a person out there that I believe all of that time that I was the devil, if it was my enemy. But I begin to know that my real enemy was God, because I was destroying his creation. I was destroying families out there. And I live with that mind, thinking that the devil was my enemy. But James 4:4 say the enmity we got with the word is an enmity we got. So God was my real enemy. I was this person that in the eyes of other people, they want to be like me. And I remember people saying my nickname, they call me Gordo. And I used to, people say, I want to be like Gordo. He got it together. But inside me, I was feel racked and I feel mm-hmm. empty. The emptiness that nothing could have failed. And that's what I say, like people see me now, they can't think that I was raised in church.
Yeah.
And the way that I talk, but I wasn't, you know, the church person. I was a leader, like I mentioned, in the wrong side of the town or in the wrong side of the table.
And it's interesting, I would imagine, when you see people that knew you before and know you now. And they're saying, how can they reconcile that? I mean, that's totally two different people. But that's the message here,
mm-hmm.
is you had a second chance to turn your life around, and you did. We're going to dive into that, actually. We're going to take a quick commercial break, but when we return, Praxedes is going to talk about his life mission and how he impacts others around him. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Milwaukee's philanthropic community is brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. This year, EIG celebrates 30 years of thoughtful growth, personalized service, and community impact. From a kitchen table vision to a boutique wealth management firm, EIG has always put people first, offering transparent advice, fiduciary care, and education that empowers families for generations. To learn more, visit ellenbecker.com.
Welcome back to MPC, Milwaukee's philanthropic community. I'm your host, Jill Economo, and my guest today is Praxedes Reyes Burgos, founder of Casa Segura de Dios. While you were incarcerated, this vision for Casa Segura de Dios began. So tell us about that journey.
Okay, well, before I start talking about the vision, when I was incarcerated, and they sentenced me to 15 years, 10 years inside and 5 years out. And when I was in there, what happened was that if I was doing my time, I began to see new inmates coming from the street, addicts. There was beat up, skinny, tools left. And I see a lot of inmates inside the prison that were still selling drugs to these other inmates, right? And I know that my heart was burning because I see myself, that was me. Mm. The inmate that was using drugs inside the prison, they lying to their man in the phone, talking about, "Mom, I need money because I ordered that," but they really was using that money and drugs. And I begin to see how violent was inside prison too. It was the same thing in the street happening in prison, people dying with overdoses. And I begin to see how this inmate literally just struggling for money, getting beat up for $10, $15, $20 stuff. And I know that was me doing that stuff in the past. And something inside of me begin to greed and calling me, I have to do something about it. Mm-hmm. I have to do something about it. Me now on the truth. And I begin to reach, you know, this inmate with the gospel of Jesus Christ, because God touched my heart inside a prison after seeing all of these guys dying. And then I do a story how many people died daily in United States. And most of these guys dying overdosing without having the chance to get a treatment or to go to somebody to help. And they just died at the end from age from 15 to 54. Mm. And 89% of these guys, they died in overdoses, never had the chance to go to a program, to go to recovery. And when I was in a cell one time praying, I feel this name, Casa Segura de Dios, inflamed my whole spirit. And it was me. I was a preacher inside prison. I was leading a church in prison. I lead a church right now too. I'm a pastor. But Casa Segura de Dios in English means safe house of God. So God's calling me to have a safe place for these people, you know, to come. And so I begin to reach these inmates inside prison. And you mentioned something before the commercial that is gonna be like kind of weird being in this side. What about my friends? So it was a problem inside prison for me being a Christian and drop my flag. I had to walk by myself as a Christian. Now nobody, if I get stole or somebody beat me up, I'm by myself, only me and God, right? Mm. But I know the calling and the necessity behind, but it was stronger than that. And by the grace of God, I begin to get like more than 1,000 people to the feet of Jesus Christ preaching the gospel.
Wow.
And it was amazing. When I got released, it was like 300 inmates. I just got released 2.5 years ago. Mm. And when I got released, I established a church, addicts, murderers, robbers, drug dealers. And that's how the vision began, just by seeing all of these people destroying himself. And the federal department or the correctioner, never mentioning the West Side, how many overdoses, how infected the prisons are with drugs. They only got in the West Side the good programs they got, the education program, but you're never going to see that in the West Side. But I see the reality, and I know that I was doing the same thing, and God calling me to do this mission, and that's what we're doing right now.
Wow, wow. Powerful story, testimony, really. So that's the vision and how it came about, which I love that story, because God used you in that environment, in prison, to make a difference.
Yeah.
He wasn't done with you yet. He saw something in you that he knew he could pull out and use that would ultimately help other people, which is just so wonderful. So that was the vision. You said that it came to you for Casa Segura de Deus, which is safe house of God.
Of God.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Great name. Tell us the mission behind Casa Segura de Deus.
The mission is just to provide services for these individuals that dying, we're not even getting help, to provide a house, a safe house, that we be able to get the ID, social security, getting the resume, putting back to work, and so they can be a beacon of hope in Wisconsin, not just to find a job. This is not going to be a place where you can come and I don't got nowhere to sleep. No, we're not going to be a Chester.
Yeah.
This is going to be a place, are you ready to change?
Yeah.
Are you ready to change your life and being transformed? We'll be able to help you out and just build this guy from nothing. I'm not concentrating inmates getting released from prison. I'm concentrating artists that are in the street right now. And that's what God calling me right now, to restore these people that are in living in the dangerous places, dying without even a hope. They somebody's daughter, somebody's son. Mm-hmm. And that's the mission, to put him out there and become a good member of society.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us then, and you talked a little bit about it, but tell us who you serve and then what kinds of struggles are you helping people to overcome?
Well, the struggles that the people that I serve is men's right now, and the vision is going to be for women's, because I got to start with one apple at a time.
Sure.
But we serving people suffering with addiction, struggling, and what I already talked about, dying in the streets. And what it touched me when I got out is because I got many friends in the city that know me. So when I got released, I feel that I got this medication to fix them. And when I get out, it was something that it really broke my heart. It just, all my friends had died and passed away. And everybody was some new kids, new young people, because the rest of the friends that I grew up with, they just died in overdoses. Mm. And the people that I serve is basically, you know, all kind of people, you know, suffering with addictions. They can't help themselves. They lost hope in themselves. And we're trying to just bring them back to hope.
And I don't know if you've ever heard this before, this expression, but they talk about being a hope dealer.
Okay.
You know, the fact that
you've
never heard that.
No,
I've heard it a couple times, and I love it because this world needs hope in so many ways, and you are providing that.
Mm-hmm.
We talked in the first segment about when people hear your story, they may be challenged to think about this idea of second chances. And it's wonderful to hear these success stories of this is where a person was before.
Mm-hmm.
This is what transformed their life. And this is what they're doing now.
Oh.
And you are providing hope.
Amen.
You are dealing in hope these days.
It's few stories that I want to mention.
Yes.
But only I'm going to touch one, because a lot of these guys and women that are out there struggling with addiction, 9 times out of 10, it's not their fault. It could be a woman that broke her leg or her arm or her leg.
Mm-hmm.
Now she got put in pain medication.
Sure.
And they're in the street because they got hooked. I see children suffering from ADHD, and they put them in the medication to be concentrated in school. And now when they 13, they got a dependent of this medication, start smoking weed, cigarettes, doing all that. But one of the stories that impacted me last uh, Christmas, it was this guy in a wheelchair. He's in a wheelchair. He would just beat up. He's an addict, right? So anybody that look at him, he just judge him by the way he is. Mm-hmm. And then I begin to know the story. And I talked to him in one of my events. And he was like, they murdered my wife. They murdered my wife. He said he was a carpenter. He never used drugs, but they went to rob him. And his wife got murdered in his house. And then he said, every sin, I can't just come up. And that story touched my heart so deeply, because it's a lot of people, they do like to enjoy using drugs. We right. can't deny that.
Yeah.
But most of these guys, they put them in medication. Something happened. They broke a bone. They used to be good mothers and fathers, right?
Yeah.
And now they in the street dying and nobody just doing nothing about it. They blind about it, or they begin to judge them. But this story of this man in the wheelchair, maybe months without showering,
yeah.
and real skinny, and he said, they murdered my wife.
Mm.
And that really changed me. Like, what happened in prison in that story last year, it yeah. was impacting.
And we never know what someone else's story is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, unfortunately, we as humans immediately judge people on what we see.
Mm-hmm.
And until we peel back the layers and dig deep and understand who that person is,
mm-hmm.
and maybe what drove them to the situation they're currently in, like your story.
Mm-hmm.
And once we uncover that, once we understand, then I think we're better able to provide whatever it is they need.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that guy, I'm sure that guy that you met, that you talked to, that you took the time to hear his story, he just needed a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And you provided that at mm-hmm. that moment. And then he's open to hear some other things that you would have to say, right?
Mm-hmm.
I firmly believe that people's ears are opened at a particular right. time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And others not. And yeah. we don't know the reason why, but I mean, that's just how it is. And so that gentleman that you took the time to listen to, his ears are now open to things that you want to share.
Yeah, especially when you come from the lifestyle, you'll be able to go to their heart. I'll be able to know,
yeah.
not that I'm God, right? Mm. But I'll be able to feel his pain, his struggles. Because that's the lifestyle that I come from. And they feel comfortable talking to me because it's like we speak in the same language, right? So they begin to open up, be like, how this guy knows so much about this lifestyle, right?
Yeah.
And I begin to bring in to the past of, to the water, right? I bring into the water. I comfort you to drink the water. But if you want to be free, that's the waters right there.
Exactly. I can help you get there. Can't mm-hmm. make you do it, but I can help
and
you get there.
And that's what we do.
Yeah. Well, what does Casa Segura de Dios offer that other programs or even churches don't?
First of all, it's a unique skill that we are bilingual. It's a lot of programs out there that don't do for Spanish people. And as we as a bilingual organization, that's one of the unique things that we got. Besides, I know it's a lot of other Christian organizations out there, but we are really centered on Christ, right? Mm-hmm. I know it's a lot of medication out there that trying to help in my situation and in the situation in other fellows. It could never help. Mm-hmm. It puts you back in the path, but it don't set you free, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this program actually focus in bringing into Jesus, right? To help to face life with depression, help to face life with anxiety. I know anxiety is real, but some medication out there just make your situation worse.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we are focusing right now in just how the individual to be free of any chain out there and walk in freedom. Plus we offer that bilingual services and we offer the house supporting houses, and they can stay there from 9 to 18 months.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's a transitional house. So they can stay there from 9 to 18 months. We're helping to get resumes, the IDs, helping with jobs. And it's a very unique environment in a Christian environment that they're going to be in there for 9 months, just facing themselves. And after the 8 months, they can get out with $25,000, $20,000, because we monitor their money in the account. It's their money, right? But when they get out, they'll be able to rent their own apartment, buy their own house, get back in track. So we offer many, many programs like mentorship, Christian mentorship. They be assigned a mentor. So we are really a big package for these participants. They're going to be there.
Okay. So do you provide support for anybody anywhere? Anybody that reaches out to you? Because are you physically located like on the south side of Milwaukee, or where are you physically located?
We're in the south side of Milwaukee right now. And right now we got the church. We're going to launch the first house for Casa Segura de Dios in January.
Okay.
So right now we're in the transition of launching the first house, right? Getting to that step. In the meantime, what we do, we minister them right now in the street, talk to them, and bring into my church. And I got other partnership. They got a Christian rehab right now. So what I do is sending to those places when I can.
Sure.
But right now, that's the structure that we got to put them in the houses that we're going to launch in January.
Okay. So let's say that somebody listening is loving your mission, or they're impacted by your personal story, and they want to help in some way to support the work that you are doing. What is the best way for them to help?
They can help to be we need a lot of volunteers right now.
Okay.
And we got our website page is www.casaseguradedios.org. And we got a list in there. They be able to find out how can they help, who can they contact. But what we're looking right now is volunteer. People that volunteer in the fundraising, in different areas that we are doing right now, and that's where we focus. That's basically what we need right now.
Okay. So let's just repeat that. It's Casa Segura, CASASEGURA. De Dios, DEDIOS .org or .com?
.org.
So that is a way that you can find out more about the needs that Praxedes is talking about. Do you have a Facebook page or a place that they can press a donate button if they want to?
In the web page, in the web page of Casa Segura de Dios, we got a donate button.
Okay.
So they can donate. They got a QR and everything is set up.
Okay.
Ready to go.
Okay. So you can visit the website. There's a QR code there. You can learn more about the needs and how you might be able to help. So we never have enough time to talk about everything we want to talk right. about, but our goal here is to just raise awareness for who you are and the great work that you're doing. Do you have, before we close out the show, do you have any closing comments for our audience today?
Well, I would like to say that Casa Segura de Dios born by seeing all this life taken away in the darkness. Die life, they are dying, what we're not seeing. And that's how Casa Segura de Dios begin. If we got a friend, I'm pretty sure we all got a friend or a cousin or even an uncle that is suffering, you know, and you be like, you can think like, he don't used to be like that, right? He don't used to be that person. And 9 times out of 10, these people are dying in silence by the thousands a year, thousands and thousands. They dying a year, right? So that's how Casa Segura de Dios is. It's a place they born where life was taken on silence and nobody seeing them.
So I would encourage you to check it out. Learn Praxedes' story. It's really remarkable. But more remarkable is how he's changed his life, turned it around, and how he's giving back and using the pain that he went through for a purpose now, a divine purpose, right?
Yeah,
so that's wonderful. Keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
Providing hope to so many people. Appreciate you being here with us today. Just keep on keeping on and doing what you do and saving lives out there in many more ways than one, right?
Thank you very much for having me here. And God bless everybody that is watching and listening.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I invite you to join us next week. New episodes drop every Thursday morning. And you'll get to learn about other nonprofits that are doing great work, like Praxedes at Casa Segura de Dios. And you'll also learn how you can make a difference as well. We oftentimes have clients asking us, how can they give back? And it's important for us to understand how they're impacted, what speaks to their heart, what speaks to their values. And by listening to these different nonprofits and how they are making a difference may speak to your heart in various ways. And so when you learn about these nonprofits, you're then able to go to their website, learn more about them, and decide if you want to help out and make a difference yourself in some way. So I definitely encourage you to do that. Always remember, whether you're at home, at work, or out in the community, make it a priority to be a blessing and give a blessing. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. If something in today's conversation resonated with you, share it with a friend or family member. And if you haven't already, subscribe so you never miss an episode. At Ellen Becker Investment Group, we believe education and community impact go hand in hand. That's why we love bringing you thoughtful insights from leaders and organizations who care deeply about making a difference in Milwaukee and beyond.
Please note, this podcast is intended for general informational purposes and to highlight philanthropic efforts in our community. The opinions and missions expressed on MPC do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellen Becker Investment Group employees and leaders. For more resources, visit ellenbecker.com. We'll see you next time.